So how is the rest of the world responding to yet another mass shooting on American soil? Rukmini Callimachi is foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and she joins us now from Paris. Paris, of course, has been under siege by terrorism over the last year, with attacks at restaurants and bars and a concert stadium in November of last year, and the attacks on the Charlie Hebdo satirical magazine in 2015. Jessica Stern is a terrorism expert and author of ISIS, The State of Terror. She joins us from Bergen, Norway, where the trauma is still felt from a mass shooting that killed 77 people back in 2011. Rukmini and Jessica, welcome.
Thank you
for having us.
And Rukmini Callimachi, let me start with you. This attack is similar in some ways to the Paris attack at the concert that we saw last year. People out having a good time. What's been the reaction there?
The reaction has been somewhat muted, and I think that's because in Paris right now, they have so many of their own problems. They're dealing with the Euro 2016, which is a major soccer competition, and one of the interrogations that was done after the November Paris attacks with one of the suspects indicated that the Euro 2016 was going to be an ISIS target. So law enforcement here is really out in force.
Jessica Stern, let's talk about the possible ties to Islamic State on the part of the assailant, such as those ties are. What's the value of a lone wolf attack, if indeed that's what this is? There's no evidence yet that the attacker had any real contact with planners from the Islamic State. But the attacker at least publicized ISIS with a 911 call before it began. Is that in itself valuable to ISIS?
Yes. ISIS has been taking credit for lone actor attacks, even when, as far as we know, there hasn't been any kind of direction at all. Perhaps there was direction, we don't yet know, but the fact that they claim credit doesn't indicate that there was. It indicates nothing.
Rukmini Callimachi, what does that credit look like on social media right now, even in retrospect, if Islamic State is trying to take credit for the attack or trump it up on social media? What does that look like?
We're seeing the usual backslapping and celebration by Islamic State members on Telegram and on social media. Last night, I saw a number of them changing their profile picture to the photograph of the attacker, the one of him taking a selfie in the mirror. And a lot of them are also posting the message of Abu Muhammad al-Adnani, the group's spokesman. He came out with his annual pre-Ramadan message a couple of weeks ago. And in that message, just as he did the year before and the year before that, he called on attackers and specifically on their adherents in the West, including in America, to carry out attacks on their own in any way they could in order to hurt the so-called infidels.
Is there any indication that Islamic State has wanted to inspire homophobic attacks in particular? I mean, certainly they are a grimly homophobic organization. There's no question about that. Has there ever been rhetoric from people like the spokesman that you mentioned to say this is a group of Western decadents that we want to target?
I certainly haven't seen that. Obviously, for somebody who had homophobic tendencies, as this young man did, we've seen the reporting citing various friends of his who saw him grimacing when he saw two men kissing on a beach in Florida. For somebody like that, you could see how this group would be appealing. This is a group that has been throwing homosexuals off of buildings in Syria and in Iraq as a way to punish them. As far as actually targeting them as a group that merits to be killed in the West, I've not seen evidence of that.
Jessica, that indicates, and again, we're in an area of speculation inevitably here, but if what Rukmini is saying is the case so far, it would appear that this was a deranged or homophobic person who found an ideology that he could retrofit into his aggression and animosity that he already had.
That's actually what we often see with lone actor terrorists. They often have mixed motives. They have personal motives. And then they have a political agenda that can be almost a gloss. They've often engaged in previous acts of violence. They're often so socially isolated. We see a lot more mental illness among lone actors. And apparently this young man had been violent against his wife. That would be something not uncommon among lone actors. Religious terrorists can find justification for acting out their own personal pain. And sometimes they adopt the religious ideology very soon before the attack.
Rukmini Callimachi, this is a country where people can get assault rifles, but there is the practical implication of that fact and a new era of franchise terrorism.
Yeah, I would add that this case is more troubling than the other lone wolf actors that we've seen. For instance, with the San Bernardino couple that carried out the mass shooting at a community center last December, there really was no immediate tie that was found to the Islamic State in terms of their communications, as far as we know. With this young man, we have something that's in the middle. In 2013, the FBI had put him under surveillance because of his extremist ideology. In 2014, they discovered communications between him and the first American suicide bomber. This is a young man also from Florida who went and joined the Nusra Front, the group that was the precursor to the Islamic State. So there are some fingerprints that are in the ether here that you would think that authorities might have been able to grab onto.
And Jessica Stern, what do those fingerprints say to you as an expert and an analyst? If he hasn't done anything illegal but has talked to the wrong people, it makes it hard to neutralize him, get him out of the way before a crime is committed.
It's very hard for law enforcement authorities to get this right. On the one hand, people are very concerned that they're spying, that they're monitoring people inappropriately, and yet at the same time, this man, obviously, and others have fallen through the cracks. Just because he spoke with someone, just because he has certain ideas, that's not considered necessarily a problem. But what we do know about lone actor terrorists is that they often talk about violence in advance. It's not just their thinking, it's their plans. They often share their plans. They often talk about violence. They talk about hatred. This is really important because people who know individuals, perpetrators, often know something in advance, and they can go to authorities.
And Jessica Stern, your final thoughts as the country once again grapples with the existential and practical effects of this attack?
I think practically, at a minimum, we ought to make it impossible for those on a terrorist watch list to buy guns. That seems like a very practical thing that could be done right now. Spiritually, I think we will be seeing attacks like this, and it's very important that people always remember that terrorism is political theater, and the whole point is to make us afraid, to terrify us, and get us to overreact. And we should just bear that in mind as we go forward.
Jessica Stern is author of ISIS, The State of Terror. She joined us from Bergen in Norway. Rukmini Kalamaki, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times from Paris. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.